Hi, I'm Courtney Gravenies, registered dietitian and exercise physiologist, and welcome to Courtney on Health's Health Bites, where I'll offer quick, realistic health tips that will hopefully help make your pathway to wellness just a little bit easier. How is everyone? I hope you're well. My goal for Health Bites, in case you're new to my podcasts, is I have a few goals. To help motivate you guys, maybe help achieve some specific health goals you're working on, specifically with regard to nutrition and fitness. Maybe help you navigate some of the often confusing food, nutrition, and exercise info that we hear in the news. And Lord knows there's a lot of confusing information. I feel like it makes so many folks just super frustrated. So hopefully I can help you navigate through some of that. I hope to offer some realistic perspectives on how we view health and wellness overall so that it's not so daunting, so that embraces the true foundation of what health and wellness really could and should be. And lastly, hopefully make you laugh. Every once in a while, I got a good funny out there too, to lay on you guys. But I welcome all feedback, and I certainly want to, as we move forward over the next few episodes, to hear from you all on topics that are of specific interest to you. So let me hear from you. So today, and this is going to be a shorter one, but I felt like, based on what I'm hearing from some clients and in groups and in my kids' school and just in community centers, just how we are looking at embracing and eating a balanced diet. And maybe, just maybe, reconsider the concept of, you know, counting macros, counting, calories, or how we even look at macros. And I'm going to dig a little bit into that and what I mean by that specifically. So listen, we all don't have to eat the same way, right? We know this. Hopefully that's not new news to you. There are lots of healthy approaches to eating that aren't identical. You can be a flexitarian and be eating a very healthful diet. You can be an omnivore and be eating a very healthful diet. You can be a vegan and be eating a healthful diet. There are lots of different ways to approach it. The common denominators, of course, would be, you know, many vegetables, some fruits, less processed food. And I am going to do, by the way, a whole dedicated segment on sort of the definition of unprocessed foods. But I think you all know what I generally mean by that. The least processed as possible, yeah? So all of those diets can be healthful, but what you want to make sure is that that's in the common denominator. What I'm seeing often now, and this might not be you as a listener personally, but maybe you know somebody, we're not looking at the whole diet. We're looking at specific compounds in a food or a beverage, and we're attaching a great amount of health to that one specific compound. And I'm going to give you an example from years ago to show you how this ends up not being a great approach. Years and years ago, we were learning about the negative effects of saturated fats on cholesterol levels. So lots of information, research that was out there. So we put a spotlight on that. And then what entered the picture? Trans fats. So I was having clients, I was working then, so I remember this vividly. So folks, you know, turned a blind eye to all other things or compounds that were in a food, but were laser focused only on those trans fats. So they'd read a label, they'd see, okay, great, zero trans fats, and it would end up in their grocery cart and then in their kitchen and, of course, then in their bellies. Yeah? So what have we learned? Flash forward now to 2024. What have we learned? Oh, gosh, we've learned so much about the negative effects of trans fats because I don't blame my clients, my patients at the time. It's just because that's what was super frothy in the news. people latched onto it, and that's all we focused on. We've seen it in sugars, right? So let's, you know, I have so many folks that I know that pick up a package and they're looking right at the amount of carbohydrate, sugar. Now, don't get me wrong. I work with a lot of folks with diabetes. So I do a lot of education surrounding knowing what your carbohydrate load is, not necessarily carbohydrate counting, but being aware of your portion size of total carbohydrate, and then, of course, the subcategory of added sugars that's in there. Do we as a whole eat too many added sugars in this country? Absolutely, no question. But should that be the only thing you're focusing on when you pick up a food and are reading a label or a drink? You have to look past that. Or let me just say, I encourage you to look past that. So look past just what that, you know, added sugar or total carbohydrate says, because there may be a boatload of other ingredients in there that you're not paying attention to because you're so focused on that one item. Maybe there are a ton of artificial sweeteners in there. Maybe there's a novel sweetener like a monk fruit or a stevia. And I will tell you that these sweeteners are ubiquitous now. They're in so many, many foods. But because we're focusing on just that added sugar and we're not necessarily looking at the ingredients, we're missing that detail in our food. So I'm just encouraging you and just putting forth some suggestions on looking at the whole food, you know, the big picture. Now let's flash forward now that the new sort of compound du jour, I feel like is protein. It's having its time in the sun, right? And there are many instances where some of us need to plump up our protein intake, but quality matters. And, you know, I guess we should be thinking about, shouldn't this come from minimally processed foods more often? And then maybe we'll leave these protein powders and shakes for when we're in a pinch or, you know, and every once in a while. But what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing is the default to jump to a protein powder first or some type of supplement and foregoing the foods that are naturally high in protein that, by the way, will have more micronutrients. And what I mean by that is more vitamins, more minerals, more phytochemicals and antioxidants. These compounds that we know are responsible for some of the conferring health benefits of so many foods like vegetables and better quality grains and better quality proteins and along those lines. So when you isolate a compound into just its smaller components, so remember, yeah, amino acids are the smaller components of what makes up a protein. So if we're just looking at that in a food and we're not looking at that big picture of what else is in there, I think we're doing sort of a health disservice for ourselves. Again, there is a role for, help maybe using some protein powder, some replacement, meal replacement shakes that are a little bit higher in protein. There are certainly some populations of people who have a greater need for protein. Remember, protein is based on your weight. So it would make sense that somebody who weighs more is going to need more protein. But we're learning so much more about different age bands that might need more protein, different disease states that might do better with more protein, pregnancy, menopause, all these different areas. But to all of those groups, I still maintain my encouraging words of look past just the powder, look past that one ingredient, and let's look at that whole food. So before I break off and tell you all how you can find me, I want to speak a little bit about pea protein because I feel like it's super hot right now. First of all, I'm a big fan of the whole green humble pea. Period. I'm just putting that out there. I think everybody should have a bag of frozen peas in their freezer to have on hand. mix it into salads, mix it into soups, into pasta sauces, you name it. It is about complete protein in the plant world, which is rare. There aren't many of them. So it's a great thing to have on hand. So good source of protein. It's slamming with fiber. So you've got like 8 grams of fiber per cup, which is huge. All of these things that we hear about, antioxidants, the carbohydrate that's in there is a complex carbohydrate. So all the way around, that little humble green pea is a good thing to keep in the freezer. Same goes for things like split peas and so forth. We'll do a whole segment on, all the different legumes that are out there and, how to prep them and their health benefits and so forth. So there's the green pea. Pea protein is extracted from split peas, right? Typically yellow split peas. So the protein is pulled away from it, which is how it loses that yellow. So for anybody who knows a split pea, there is a yellow type. So it's pulled from that. So it loses that white. Loses the yellow. The white is what remains. And that compound is what is used in things like pea protein milk now, which, by the way, is an excellent option if you are vegan and are looking for a plant alternative to cow's milk. It's also the same protein powder, that pea protein powder that is used in things like meal replacements. It's used in energy bars and so forth. So again, it's a very good option. I think it adds nice texture to foods. It is a good quality protein. We want to focus on good quality plant-based proteins, not just, any plant-based protein. But the same message applies. Okay, if that pea protein is housed in a food that all it's providing is the protein, but minimal other compounds that we know are so healthful, Are we missing the point? Are we missing the point of what a generally well-balanced diet really should be? So I really wanted today's Health Bites to be just maybe think about the way you eat. Think about what you like, what you don't like. Maybe read a few of those labels and say, are there more foods that I have in the house that, I really focused on, whether it be the sugars or the protein or the what type of fat is in there. And I'm not thinking about the food as a whole and what, first of all, do I like it? And is it tasty, right? Don't we want our food to taste good? And then secondly, how is that helping my body? How is that helping me maintain my health? Now, everything you put down your gullet, and I'm going to finish on this, does not have to be, absolutely perfect for you and the most healthful food. That's not realistic, right? But if you shoot for 80% of the time eating well, then the 20% of the time you can have your treats, your goodies, and I'll let you all fill in whatever that means to you. But give your body what it needs mostly in that 80%. And then that 20%, you can, be a little bit more realistic and be a little kinder to yourself in terms of, giving yourself a break. We're all allowed treats. That's what life is about, right? So let me hear from you. I hope you enjoyed today's. I know it was a super brief Health Bite, but I want to just leave you with that just to start thinking, a little bit differently about our approach to a balanced meal plan. If you've got some thoughts, I'd like to hear from you. Message me at CLG Wellness, either on TikTok or on Instagram. You can always email me at clgwellness@gmail.com or just follow me for more nutrition and fitness tips that are backed by science, not by fiction. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.